I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
What does the Lord receive from your hand? You're going to notice that word hand in the scriptures today because this is a theme throughout scripture. What the Lord receives from your hand. We just gave him from our mouth, and he wants that. We live from our heart. He wants that. What's he received from your hand? Money's weird. Money's weird. Money's weird. I'll prove it with one example. Over the years, not lately, but over the years, we have hired several church members, attenders, to do odd jobs for pay. And so many times when we hire someone from within the church to do a little one-time thing, they will ask us, oh, just comes time to pay them. Just, I don't want it. Just add it to my giving record. Okay? It's a wonderful heart. But it's illegal, so we can't. And so we tell them that. We legally can't do that. But we write you the check. You sign the back. You are more than welcome to just put the check in the offering. But guess what? We all share a very human trait, because when they get the check, they very rarely give it back. We've just noticed this is a thing, and it's kind of funny. Because, and I think you can attest to this, once it's in our hands, it's hard to let it go. Which is why we're so quick to say, don't even let me see it. Just put it there. I don't even want it. Just put it there. And then you get it, it's like, ah, boy, that's real money, isn't it? And why is that? It's very simple. Money's weird. Money is weird, right? It's been 2 years since we've talked about tithing. But if you've been a believer a while, then you likely are well aware that when, you know, an average pastor says, we're talking on tithing, there is a good chance that either, number one, it will be a thinly veiled effort to raise funds for a program or a project, which I just want you to know is absolutely not my intention. Or two, he's going to haul out Old Testament Malachi chapter 3 and beat you over the head with it, which absolutely is my intention. So let's turn to Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Because this is it. I mean, this is, here's God. Will a man rob God? Yet, you robbed me, the Lord says. You robbed me. But you ask, how? How do we rob you? In tithes. Literally tenths. You know, a tithe just means one tenth, a slice. You know, you get the 90, God says, but let's do something with that tenth for the good of everyone. So in tithes, 10%. It's a portion set aside to honor God by helping others. And offerings, special gifts to help with specific needs. Like if we have a fundraiser for the Philippines mission, you know, or in response to unexpected blessings. You know, sometimes a big check will come in the offering basket, we'll write a thank you, and we'll find out that a person has inherited money or sold a property. They just wanted to do something of eternal value with part of it, you know. But to God's point here in Malachi, he's warning. He's not threatening. He's just letting them know the reality of the situation. You're under a curse. You're choosing to live under a curse instead of a blessing. You're under a curse because you're robbing me. And so it's like, so instead, you know, keep 90% and bring the whole one-tenth. Bring the whole tithe, the whole slice into the storehouse. And then in the New Testament, they elaborate on that. It's like, at least just set aside something. You know, if it's not 10%, just set aside something with consistency and start growing. Right? But in the Old Testament, Malachi was urging faith and trust in their long-awaited Christ to come. And it was 400 years still before he came. Because, see, they're growing cynical. It's 400 years before he came, but they're growing cynical rather than faithful. Because, as we know from the book, Malachi's old mob there assumed the prophecies of a Messiah and the promises of prosperity would have paid off by now. And they weren't. And they're wondering whether it's worth serving such a slow-moving Savior. And it's showing where it always shows first, in their giving. How do we rob you, they ask. In tithes and offerings, in tenths and gifts, they're told. Small amounts and small amounts here and there. That's how we rob God. Like how a gun is how a mugger robs a person, okay? How a crowbar is how a burglar robs a house. Turns out tithes and offerings is how a believer robs God. That's the how. But then here's a better question. What is it exactly that we rob God of? Because, correct me if I'm wrong, but our Father's made it crystal clear that he is not in any need of any things from us, saying, for example, I have no need of a bull from your stall or of goats from your pens. It's like you got this old giving thing all wrong, God is saying. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and all that is in it, which is why we only rent it. You see, their giving, though, was used in large part to help widows and orphans and the destitute. That was like the only program available. So understand, they were robbing God of giving and caring, as well as one of his greatest loves. That's his place, children's home in the Philippines. But they're robbing him of one of his greatest loves, blessing those doing the giving. Which means when we rob our Father, we cheat ourselves. It isn't like they weren't giving anything. These are people who you would probably look at and say were fairly faithful. So how exactly were these cheats stealing by giving? And Malachi tells us, by giving less than best. If you've been around long enough, remember the old Route 66 series. This is one of my favorites. It's the Route 66 video on Malachi. I'm not going to play it, but in it, you've got this guy in the back, Trey Hatch. He's just done a wonderful job. He's a sacrificial animal salesman trying to pawn off a dead lamb on Malachi. And at this point, he realizes it has a detachable ear, which is a feature, he says. Until Malachi tells him, wait, this is for a party. I can't have this for a party. To which the embarrassed seller, and this is how the video ends, leans forward, summing up all the feelings of Malachi, the book, leans forward and says, my apologies. I thought it was just for the Lord. That's the message of Malachi, wherein God says, if I am a father, this is God speaking, if I am a father, where is the honor due me? When you bring blind animals for sacrifice, or crippled or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Try offering them to your governor. Who was their governor? Anyone? Bueller. Governor, I don't expect you to know this. Governor Nehemiah of the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, their governor. He says, yeah, would he be pleased with you? God is saying, think about what you're doing. When you offer them as sacrifice, when you offer those things as sacrifices, having sacrificed nothing yourself to offer them, should I? You tell me, should I accept them from your hands? There it is, from your hands. You know, it's like, what would that say about me as a God? And thus, cursed is the cheat, because he cheats himself. So whatever you do, don't give the Lord your leftovers. That's it. Don't give the Lord your leftovers, especially since and because he only asks for one slice for our own benefit. Because our giving as believers, our giving conquers our greed. That's how we do that. And it increases our Christ-likeness, right? And it gives us a share in his work down there. But if we only ever offer our leftover time or money or energy, then we'll be withholders rather than shareholders. And as I know that you already believe, he deserves our deepest love and highest loyalty, right? But I got to make sure you do understand, we are not talking about buying his blessing, right? We get that, right? We're not buying his blessing. We're simply offering tokens of trust by tangibly loving others in his name. Let's read that together. We're offering tokens of trust by tangibly loving others in his name. That's it. That's what it does. That's what it's for. Which is why faithful followers offer what is called their first fruits rather than their last leftovers. So now I just want to tell you why. You know why old Governor Nehemiah is mentioned? You know, and he says, would he be pleased with you? Because he wouldn't. Because he literally wrote the book on first fruits, explicitly declaring in chapter 10, we obligate ourselves to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all fruit of every tree year by year to the house of the Lord, and also the firstborn of our herds and of our flocks and the first of our dough and our contributions. He goes on, but that's, you get the point. And just so you know, I have practiced this. I thank you to my parents for raising me this way. Our kids used to have little tithe jars. We raised them the same way. I have practiced this type of giving since Sunday school, when we had these little colorful envelopes in which to collect their coins during the week. How old do you think I am? Back when we used to shovel the coal into the church. Yeah, we did have, they didn't look like that, but we did have colored envelopes. And when I was older, I deposited my paycheck. Remember paychecks? That was a thing. I remember I would go to the bank and deposit my paycheck and immediately like step to the side, take out my checkbook and write my tithe check. I was raised that way. And then I would tuck it in my wallet till I could put it in the plate on Sunday, because I knew if I gave from what was left over, it'd be pretty lame, right? Now, technology advances. I personally utilize automatic giving, and I love it because it is great for offering stability. Let that sink in. I love that line. Offering stability, because it secures my consistency like nothing else, which just fortifies my faithfulness. So that's what we do, Shar and I. But boy, oh boy, I like having that fortified faithfulness, especially when I'm tempted to give my leftover dough. And so technology advances. As of today, you and I, we will be able to scan a QR code during offering, because apparently you all have those phone things now that y'all use for everything. So we're going to make QR codes available during offering, because I do not want us to make the same mistake as them in old Malachi's day. Because see, they not only blocked God's blessings, they blamed him for it, because they didn't get that they were blocking it, which is why he had Malachi write the book. And they should have known, because all his warnings through Moses, specifically in Leviticus 22, saying, do not offer to the Lord the blind, the injured, or the maimed, or anything with warts, or festering, or running sores. And I think, is it just me? Or is it just embarrassing to every believer that this had to be a rule? That it had to be a rule. And just out of curiosity, please don't raise your hands. Just out of your curiosity, do you give more to your governor? You give more to old Inslee? State sales taxes, the state portion of sales tax, 6.5%. Gas tax is now a little over 49 cents a gallon. Ooh. You see, Malachi's mob was showing more respect in that way to Governor Nehemiah, God's manager and minor prophet, than to God, the coming Messiah that Nehemiah was foretelling. And just like them, you and I are called. We are called to grow in ever greater giving. It's part of our faith. If you know me for any length of time, you know I don't like doing giving messages. I'm so concerned they might be heard as pleading for money. But we need giving messages because this is a huge part of what we give to God from our hand. And he's able to use to bless and love others. And we all grow in the process. Because our Father can't bless stingy kids. And I want you blessed. And there's a reason he can't bless stingy kids. Love. Because we are blessed by blessing and cursed by coveting. And he's not going to upset that. That's just how it works. Which is why old Malachi warns us, if you do not set your heart, this is what it's all about, set your heart to honor my name, says the Lord Almighty, I will send a curse upon you. Mostly just by the consequences, right, that are intended to drive us to our eternal best. And I will curse. I will like have no choice but to curse what would have been your blessings. Yes, he says, I've already cursed them. Look at you guys. Not you, I'm Malachi talking to his people. Look at you guys. I've already cursed them, not because of money, but because you have not set your heart to honor me. So that's the question for you and me. Have you, have I, have we set your heart? He practically begs his children to test him in this, saying, to bring the whole tithe, the whole one-tenth into the storehouse, test me in this. See, there it is. Test me in this. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates. Now, I want you to notice this because I'm hopefully going to change your view on this passage. Throw open the floodgates. That's where the water comes out, right? There's a gate that holds the water back. I will open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. So test him and see. Because we are blessed to the degree we are invested. Because this is what I want you to notice in that passage. He does not pour out so much blessing on you, but out of you, because you will not have room enough for it, so it will come from deep within that water, because the kingdom of God is within you, right? And out of the believer's heart shall flow the rivers of living water. So I hope you get it. You are the floodgate that he is dying to throw open to pour out his blessing. Because how else does it come if not through his people? Paul says, you will be made rich in every way. He's not saying every one of you rich in every way. He's saying as the body of Christ, look around. You're going to be made rich in every way so that, and I love it, so that you can be gracious on every occasion. Your giving is not only supplying the needs, that's kind of what we always focus on, not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also, oh, and here's the overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. This is what your giving is accomplishing. Many expressions of thanks to God, overflowing, because men will praise God. Look at this. Men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing. But then, boy, let's switch gears here because now listen, you stingy rich people, James says, weep and wail because your wealth is rotted. Yeah, moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver is corroded. Interesting line now. And their corrosion will testify against you. Wonder why? Hold the thought. But it's ultimately because you've hoarded wealth. You've hoarded wealth in the last days. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. And then to get this next line, you got it. The context is, you know, like rather than fattening a calf to share with others, you fattened yourselves in that day of slaughter. Well, that's encouraging. That's encouraging. Well, as bad as that may sound, here's how the message paraphrases that ending. You've looted the earth and lived it up, but all you'll have to show for it is a fatter than usual corpse. Well, don't sugarcoat it, James. But here's the question. Here's the question after all that. Did that sound encouraging or discouraging? Be honest with yourself. Because James is speaking on behalf of the poor, the neglected, and the exploited. James here is like a speaker ramped up at a mad rally, crying out, you drunk drivers will pay. You will pay, and your victims will be vindicated. It's inspiring stuff, unless you're the drunk driver, you know. Or in James' case, the hoarder. So did you hear it as inspiring or condemning? I think as Americans, we likely all kind of heard it the same way. A little condemning. They had three ways that they hoarded their wealth in James' day. The grain, you know, food, and garments, clothes, and gold, money. Those are the big three, food, clothes, and money. And James nails all three when he says, your wealth of food has rotted. You know, that wealth has rotted. And moths have eaten your clothes. And your gold and silver corroded. And then he adds that their, here it is again, their corrosion will testify against you. How? Why? Okay, well, let's ramp up to it. Where does our food usually go to rot? The back of the fridge, right? You ever pull something out of there and go, oh, my good, what was this? You lift the top, oh, my, that's awful. Then you put it back, but Char will take care of it. Yeah, that's how they make cheese anyway. The back of the fridge is where our food goes to rot, right? And when do moths eat our clothes? When we store them, because we don't wear them. You see, here it is. These are all signs of stuff being stored rather than shared in the name of the Lord. That's why the rot will testify. Oh, you got to remember this analogy from, I don't know, a while back. Remember that brand new 57 Belvedere they sealed in a time capsule? Remember that thing? They're so careful. And then they dug it up 50 years later to everyone's utter disappointment and dismay, right? Well, just one thing to say. Don't bury your Belvedere. It might be an obvious point, but don't bury your Belvedere, whatever your Belvedere may be, because the generous soul will be made rich in every way. And he who waters from his heart will also be watered from within. And in this way, the righteous will flourish like foliage in God's eyes. You may remember when the Lord spoke to Job out of the whirlwind and God was asking, stand up like a man, I'm going to ask questions and you're going to answer. And then he asks all these questions and we don't get the answer. But here's one of the questions. God says, who has given to me that I should repay him? So you be Job, what's the answer? And oh, do not say nobody, because he will not be happy with that answer. So what's the answer? There's the question, who has given to me that I should repay him? Anyone? Could I be God saying Bueller? I can't. Okay. Because God asks us the question because God has given us the answer. But don't feel too bad if you don't know it, because Job was also a bit befuddled by it. But wise old Solomon saw it. And he knew that whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay. There's an answer to the question. Well, okay, there it is. So for us, the next time you're reading through Romans, you get to chapter 11, verse 33, and you hear Paul quote that, and you hear him comment on it, and you hear Paul say, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? Well, you raise your hand and say, oh, I know this one. I know. Whoever's generous to the poor. And that's the answer. Just before Job was questioned by God himself, the Lord's spokesman, Elihu, asked him this, kind of ramping up to it. He says, if you are righteous now, what do you give God? Or, here it comes again, what does he receive from your hand? And then he gives us a little hint. Your righteousness affects a son of man. You go, huh? How? Well, thankfully, Jesus came and shed some light. Just after Jesus tells the story of that one talent servant who buries his Belvedere, Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, he will separate the people. You know, it's in the shareholders who affected him from withholders who defected from him. Like as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he'll say to the sheep, come, watch this. Come, you who are blessed. This is, Jesus is God. And here's what he's saying. Come, you who are blessed. For, hey, it turns out I was hungry. And I didn't tell you. But you gave me something to eat rather than just letting it rot. I actually needed clothes. You know it? I didn't tell you, but you clothed me rather than feeding the moths. And I was sick. Who would have thunk God was sick? I was sick. And you looked after me despite the cost. And then he explains himself, for whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, oh, you can bet you did it for me. So here's the question and answer. What does the Lord receive from your hand? Oh, food, clothing, and care in every imaginable way. Unless he doesn't. And so offer the Lord the loan that affects the son. Stop hoarding and start really storing. Give to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. Let's at his place here. Let's not be withholders who only ever offer our father lame leftovers. Instead, let's set our hearts to honor Jesus. And let's set aside a set amount and start growing in our giving. Malachi had a faithful few who set their hearts to honor the Father and coming Savior. And you and I, we now know him by name. We know him by name. So I'll tell you this, I am ready and raring to test him and to offer him a little loan like that faithful few. Question is, are you? Let's pray. Father God, we worship you and honor you with our deepest love and highest loyalty. Holy Spirit, empower us to conquer our greed and inspire us to increase in Christ-likeness. Lord Jesus, we love you and trust you. And Lord, we look forward to lending to you. And in your name, everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.